welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network. We want to welcome our audience around the nation and around the world and those that are listening and viewing. The Lord is speaking out. We're going to be sharing today some things that God has been speaking out. And our God speaks. He has a voice. Yeah. He has a voice. And joining me today on today's program is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Does God not speak or what?
Yes, he does.
Loudly.
He speaks so much. It's amazing. It's like, okay, I got to write this down. Oh, my goodness. And of course, when God speaks, if you pay attention to it and make any effort at all to document what he's saying, it won't go.
Yeah.
But if you don't do anything, you just think, oh, it will stay with me. The voice of God will stay with me. Then it's like cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, you put cotton candy in your mouth, you know, at the fair and the zipper rides and stuff, that it just disappears. And it's like, it was real. You did see it. Mm-hmm. It did taste sweet. But as soon as you put it in your mouth, it disappears. That's the way when God speaks. If you make an effort, if you do something to remember what he said, he will connect the rest of what he said to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how he does that. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio, watching us on VFN TV, Christian Television Network. And we have some things we want to talk about today. First of all, yesterday, we are all mourning the loss of a very significant figure in the world. One who spent 30 years in prison, the first 30 years of my life.
Wow.
In prison, and was freed, who became the first African-American president of South Africa. That's Nelson Mandela. He died yesterday in Johannesburg. And our hearts go out to him and his family. And what an impact. What an impact, you know, he has had on the world. A man to be admired, to
no
be
doubt.
Emulated, and I mean, 30 years. So we'll be talking about today some of the things that he did. I didn't realize all of his history until reading up on it this morning and listening and watching, and it's like, we don't just get here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we just don't get here. And there's a reason why I got to the place I am today. Been there, tried that, done that, got a t-shirt. I'm going to do it this way.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people try to judge us off how our process on how to get here. And the truth is, how am I now? You know, we're going to be teaching and talking about that this Sunday at the VFN Dream Center. You can catch us online. You can catch us through the stream. You can catch us on VFN TV at 10 a.m. Central Time, 10:30 a.m. Central Time, and 3 p.m. Central Time. You know, talking about the processes. You know, you may be looking at me right now, and I may look like a caterpillar or a puba in the process, right?
That's right.
I was reading that. You're like, puba. You're thinking, I can hear Isaiah talking about me now. Well, Ted, you said puba, which is the process of a caterpillar, you know, going to school.
Amazing.
Yeah. And we're in this process, and people can look at your whole process, and they did that with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and they said, well, isn't he a carpenter? I saw him in his puba state. I mm-hmm. saw him when he was building, you know, puba shells,
right.
Not puka shells, Pat. Put your puka shells down. The, seriously, and they said, you're a carpenter, son, aren't you? Aren't you Mary's son? Don't you know? Aren't you Bobby Joe's cousin, uncle's aunt, niece, Second Street thing?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I guess mine would be Judkin Street. Anyway, they couldn't get past the journey that his father, our God, had him on to suddenly bring him into the point where he says, now, son, it's time for you to spread your wings. And all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Spirit comes down and says, now. And John the Baptist baptizes the Son of God, and all of heaven parts. Mm. And this roaring thunder comes from heaven, from the creator of the universe, and says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased.
Mm.
Isn't that awesome?
Powerful.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, it's amazing, the wings just kind of the Holy Dove, like a dove, the Holy Spirit like a dove just lands on him. And it ends 3 years later with him personally spreading his wings on the cross for us,
mm-hmm.
taking his arms and nailing his wings to the cross. A short-lived life. I'm telling you, the life of, when you think about the life of, the life cycle of a butterfly and a caterpillar I mean, you can really think about us because we're supposed to be transformed is what he tells us to do. So you don't want to miss that. You want to catch that at the VFN Dream Center this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., 3 p.m. And if you're listening to this a little bit later, you probably can get it on VFNTV.com. Just go to the store right there. But you can listen to it broadcasted live on this particular Sunday.
I'm looking forward to it.
It is an order. It is an order from God to be transformed. It's not an option. And metamorphosis is where this word comes from, by the way, which means you go through a fundamental transformation. No, you go through such a transformation that you're no longer what you were. So if you've been with God for 5 years and you still act the same, think the same, talk the same, you know what I'm saying? You're a caterpillar or a worm, right? Is that a worm?
That's a worm?
Right. Is that a caterpillar, worm, caterpillar? Pretty much, right?
Pretty much.
Pretty close.
It's like close. A worm.
You're crawling on your belly when you should be flying. And so the process that's been taught today is you don't have to be transformed. You just got to say a prayer. And the only thing that contradicts that is God, Jesus, Paul, Peter, it's like the Bible. And I know 81% is not reading it, but I'm reading it for you right now. And the only Bible you may ever read is what you see in us and here. And that's cool too, by the way. You can hear this and respond. You don't have to be a good reader to follow God. You can be a good listener, especially with today's technology. You can hear the Bible. But there was one particular man that was in China, I believe. They write about it in the book. Jim Rutz writes about it in his book, Mega Shift. And there was a man who did not know how to read, and he had the Bible, and he wanted so bad to read the Word of God. And he just asked God, God, can you give me the ability to read? And like an instant mega pop from God, he could read.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
I would say God's into his word.
Definitely.
Seeing that his word is Jesus. His word is made flesh through Jesus. And was a living word. It's living. It's. I think he's into his word.
That's right.
We live by every proceeding word that comes out of the mouth of God. Right. Do you want to come alive? Let me tell you, you want to come alive? Get in and follow God. Follow his word. So this Sunday, the VFN Dream Center, you want to catch that. Also, I want to ask this question today in today's program. So we're going to have four programs back to back, so you don't want to miss them. If you don't see us on Christian Television Network, you can catch us. Go to VFNTV.com and find all the ways you can watch us around the world and listen to us. But it's a big question that we're not asking ourselves, but we're seeing manifested in the lives of our world and our nation is how come parents don't want children and children don't want parents? I'm going to ask the question. You need to ask the question. I know it's politically correct for you to say, you know, you want your children or you like your parents. But the question is, if your parents quit giving you everything, would you still want them? The question is, if your child's not going to do something for you, but they're still your child, are you still going to love your child? You know, if it doesn't meet that fantasy need that you thought you're going to have, it's like, you know, some football players pick the fantasy, whatever, five or whatever. And there's parents that pick fantasy children, and then you have reality children.
That's right.
And we're all fallen. And the truth is, we're going to talk about right now that parents that adopted children are putting them back on the internet, asking people to come get this child. They're yours. We want a return policy, like the Amazon return policy.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's nothing. But then you have our government supporting this whole concept. They're wedging their way in between this parenting and child while they're blaming the parents for the condition of the world, you know, and the condition of society. At the same time, they're squeezing in between the parent. I mean, if you give that father some time alone with that child, society will change.
Society will change.
But you told him and her that they can't do what God does, what he said do. Somebody says, well, that's not godly to be able to. I says, listen, hang on, America. You're fixing to see God believes in corporal punishment. We're fixing to see some pretty. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking today by God's grace about some things the Lord just shared with me. You'll be the first to see it and to hear it today about some of the things that are coming. And it is definitely corporal punishment. But it's from a loving father who's wanting to save us from the context of where we're going, the direction that we're going. And we can pray that it doesn't happen. But have you seen God's children lately? They're not listening to him.
No.
Any good father knows if you don't listen after a while, you're going to have to do something to get their attention. And then we're going to talk about, there is this club now. It's called, the particular club is called Childless by Choice. Childless by Choice.
Wow.
And these couples are saying, we're committed, and they joined a club that says, that we don't want children, don't like children, don't need them. We're actually, I think the word that one of the, you're going to hear, she said, we're just kind of, what was the word that she used? I got to find that word. She says, we're kind of just indifferent. We don't hate them. We're just indifferent towards them.
Hmm.
And it's like, you know, why do you want to spend your money? And you can hear the whole interview. We're going to make the whole interview available. You're going to hear parts of the interview here, but you're going to be able to see the whole interview on the VFN Torch today. You go to VFNTV.com. But we got to face the fact. The enemy has come and lied to mankind and said that parenting and family and children are not the highest commodity and value in God's creation. And now we've got to this particular place that the enemy is driving a wedge between blaming parents, blaming children, when the government is infiltrating the family. It's happened in the last 100 years or 90-something years, at least since the 40s and 30s when the school curriculum and all the things going. And even a reporter on MSNBC, even a reporter on MSNBC says, and we won't have that for you today because we'll get enough time in our research, but hopefully it'll be a related article. She said, really, your kids don't belong to you. They don't belong to you. They belong to the community. And by the way, this particular unannounced presidential candidate that's running in the future, that's got George Soros on her financial committee, which he's bought us and stuff, that guy, is, she wrote a book, It Takes a Community to Raise a Child.
Mm.
She and her husband in Arkansas developed outcome-based education, which really is just not any testing at all. So when you're looking at core...
Common core,
you're looking at a lot of those kind of mindsets to be able to do things. Because it was a little bit different even with outcome-based education. Otherwise, you just hang around, and the process of hanging around, you learn something. And it's like somebody says, well, my kid's been hanging around me for 5 years. I don't think they learned a thing. But they wrote a book. She wrote a book. It Takes a Community to Raise a Child. And hopefully that'll be a related link that you can see that. But her name is Hillary Clinton. And I understand that people are talking about that she might want to be the next president. She did run before, but they didn't select her. But she might be selected for the next situation. And I'm talking about the people that choose who's going to be the candidate. It takes a lot of big money to run that. Maybe that's why she's got George Soros.
Hey, financial committee. $1 billion at least.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Good for a bill or two. Oh, a bill and a bill. Anyway, so but some of the things we're going to talk about today, we're going to try to get all this in, but we got to begin to ask the question. You have parents out there that would just, well, truth is they probably have a fantasy of what it's like to have children, but they just would just give their right arm to have a child. And then you have other parents who have a child that would give their right arm to get rid of the child that they have. But yet, even though they're hating on that child, they will not give that child up to the parent who would give their right hand to that for that child because they don't want the luggage and the baggage that comes with the fact is, no, you're going to have to tolerate me even though I hate you. You're going to have to tolerate me because I don't want it known of me that I gave you up.
Right.
So then you have me because of idolatry in yourself. And now you're keeping me because of idolatry in yourself when there's somebody over here that would raise me because they want me to be there. It might be a fantasy they don't know yet when I show up, but my reality shows up. I think God would honor that other couple that would want that child.
Sure.
And we're going to talk about this. Why doesn't America want its children, and why doesn't its children want its parents? We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are religious materials allowed to be displayed in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
There's a Christian school which is receiving money for a More at Four program for age four. And the woman who issues the money or checks to see if everything's okay said she was not allowed to put up a poster about Jesus.
Not true. And I'll tell you where this is coming from. The faith-based initiative that the Department of Education is operating under remove those kind of what we call ridiculous barriers so that faith-based groups can provide after-school care in a Christian setting, because you'd have to remove the cross from the church sanctuary or never make a reference to the Bible, and that's just not the case. So the law is very good on that. That's a misreading of it. We'll get you in touch with our legal department, Michelle, here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and get you some help right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, if there, you know, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded with inside of me. I go, whoa. I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing, that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow.
That was the beginning. One little step. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, it'll change your life, because he is the word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. We just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a blessed season. Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's lift him up and remember that God, the creator of the universe, was so humble that even when they said there's no room for him in the Hyatt, the Hyatt Regency up the street, he didn't get offended and go back to heaven, which is much better than anything man could do. He said, I'll just go in the barn up the street, the stable up the street, where the cows and the donkeys and all. God will be born in a stable, in a manger, a nativity scene that we say today. And it's exciting to see the nativity scenes that are going up that are in Washington, D.C., but also I know that the first time in the history of Florida that the governor down in Florida has one right in front of the state capitol.
Wow.
That's the first time in the history. Wow. First time in the history of Florida. This is the governor that signed the Born Alive bill.
That's right.
Right by the studios, by the way. He came all the way to the studios, miles and miles away, and it was, an answer to prayer, you know, taking care of the child that was born alive. Well, today is a day that we're in mourning for Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
I mean, what a man. What a man in regards to so many different things. But the truth is, you know, once he was imprisoned, that's when I was born.
Wow.
And from the time that I was born to the time that I was 30 years old, for 30 years of my life, he was serving time in prison for wanting to see people free. For wanting to see them free, wanted to see what we're seeing today. And I think it's like 8% or 9% of the population was white in South Africa, but yet oppressed. And it was not just, I mean, that's where it started. But then people began to join in the regime and had no problem repressing their own folks. Mm-hmm. And he tried in this journey to those processes that we're talking about earlier, you know, maybe this will work. Maybe that'll work. Maybe this will work. When you hear, I'll be John Brown. Well, we tried that too. That's what that means if you don't know the history of that. And hopefully that'll be a related thing. But that's actually a man that rose up in America. I think he's in Missouri or whatever. And he said, you know, his name was John Brown. He said, let's just do, and he's, what he basically saying was saying, let's just do what Nelson Mandela did.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. They repressed him right away. But he was, what he's saying is, God has called me, and this is what he was saying based on reports, to free the slaves in America. This is ungodly. This needs to be, and of course, when you hear somebody say, I'll be John Brown, that's what that means. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they might not know what it means. They may have heard somebody repeat it, but that's what it means. And so he went through the John Brown stage, and that didn't work, and that brought him to a place of imprisonment where he was tortured for almost, you know, I wouldn't say the whole 30 years, but the majority of that, I meant, just badly treated. Uh-huh. And he comes through this process a fundamentally transformed man. He went through a metamorphosis during this 30 years. It may have been sooner, but he was freed at that. But you could see the difference. He was one man when he went in, but he was a man that could lead the nation and speak to the world about love and forgiveness. And that if we have that heart, you know, then we can reach the world. Mm. And he did it during the short period of time. He was only president for like 4 years, but that was very significant because that was the first. He was like 80, I think, when he voted for the first time.
Wow.
No, 70. He was 70 when he voted for the first time.
Wow.
70. And, you know, because being in prison and also being oppressed, that people were oppressed. And just, you needed to really learn from this because we talked about, and you got to hear this first. Listen to CBN, what's taking place. And as we begin to focus and remember Nelson Mandela, who passed away just yesterday, a son of South Africa.
Israel. The world mourns today over the loss of Nelson Mandela, known as South Africa's first black president, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, and the man who defeated his country's racist apartheid system. Across the globe, leaders are paying tribute to a life that changed the world. Today, South Africa is a heartbroken country. Nelson Mandela passed away peacefully Thursday at the age of 95.
He is now resting. He is now at peace. Our nation has lost its greatest son. Our people have lost a father.
Across the globe, national leaders and ordinary citizens alike are mourning and celebrating Mandela.
A moral giant who embodied the dignity and the courage and the hope and sought to bring about justice, not only in South Africa, but I think to inspire millions around the world.
Nelson Mandela was a giant for justice and a down-to-earth human inspiration.
Bishop T.D. Jakes said of Mandela, I am deeply saddened to have lost such an enduring symbol of freedom and liberty. Nelson Mandela was an elder statesman who embodied the very essence of servant leader. And the legacy of the man who taught the world it's possible to transform anger into hope will live on. Mandela grew up feeling the shackles of South Africa's brutally racist apartheid system. For 20 years, he led a nonviolent campaign against the government. But then his philosophy changed to one of armed struggle. In 1964, he was sentenced to life in prison for planning to topple the government. When he was finally released in 1990, he had a much more tolerant attitude towards his opponents in the government.
Nelson Mandela understood we cannot hold these grudges if we hope to go forward. There must be some forgiveness. It is not justice that's going to cure the distortions of human community. It is the forgiveness of sin. He was able to forgive.
In 1994, Mandela's dream was realized when black South Africans cast their first ballots in a democratic election, and Mandela became South Africa's first black president. He stepped down in 1999, handing power over to the next generation, from a fighter to a symbol of democracy, freedom, and reconciliation. Nelson Mandela lives on in hearts around the world. Next week, South Africa will hold a memorial service at a 95,000-seat stadium. The White House says President Obama will attend the service.
It's a moment for us to mourn. It's a moment for us to mourn in regards to such a great loss taking place in the world today. But a great game because we had Nelson Mandela with us. And it wasn't until 2008, 2008 was he removed from the terrorist watch list of America because he was part of the he was Secretary General of the Non-Aligned Movement. Non-Aligned Movement, which was very known as a communist sympathizer in that type of situation. But you have to understand that if the church oppresses a people, if a people oppress a people, but if the church, who's called to set people free, in the name of God oppresses a people, they're going to seek a way to be not oppressed. When we were called to set them free. So if people say, listen, that won't happen again, we're going to turn to socialism, we're going to turn to communism, where that won't happen, that every person has of the equal rights in the context of this, you have to understand, hey, that is because the church didn't do their job. And it's time for us. Jesus was sent to set folks free, and he sent us to be able to set. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's amazing how Nelson Mandela spread his wings, and eventually, after 2 years of serving as the general counsel, he stepped off of that and began to promote peace. And he had a foundation that promoted the curing of AIDS and all the different things, and he began to focus his area in that. Listen, what a man to be admired. What a person to be admired and one to emulate. 30 years in prison. I mean, the only person you can compare that to is probably Joseph, you know, in the journey. And he came out just like Joseph came out. And he went in one man, but he went through a metamorphosis and came out a transformed man. And he did just like Joseph. He said, listen, forgiveness is the way we're going to come out of this. And listen, the African American, the black people in Africa were the majority of the folks there. They were like 92%, and they still chose to do what was right. And look what's happening today. South Africa is blessed, and somebody was just talking about moving there yesterday. We remember you, Nelson Mandela, son of South Africa.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even a map. Visit VFNTV.com. We want to ask you to partner. Listen, you're giving, your contributions. We're doing this together. We're taking the gospel all around the world. Every bit counts. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much. And he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Restoring the purity in giving, giving without regret. Imagine having a wonderful time of being able to celebrate others and to be able to get them gifts and go through a gift-giving season and it to be all said and done and all you have is good memories. No regret, no debt, no 5 years to pay it off. Listen, we have to get a right perspective of giving again. We have to understand it's supposed to be a good experience. We have to restore the purity in giving. Today, a special offer available this week to you at VFNTV.com. Just go to the VFNTV.com, click on special offer, an offer of any amount, and it could be yours. I encourage you, get it now, listen to it, so that you can truly restore the purity in giving and you'll be giving without regret this Christmas season.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, hello. You're listening to VFN Radio on VFN TV and Christian Television Network audience. We're going to give a big shout out to all of our listeners and viewers around the nation and around the world. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
If you missed our earlier program, four programs back to back, you want to be able to catch them. They were talking about the mourning of a great man today and the celebrating of his life, Nelson Mandela, who passed away yesterday. And a man who served 30 years in prison for wanting to see his people free from oppression. And also, we're going to be talking about a fresh word, what God is saying about some things that are happening in society right now and what's about to take place. We've been talking about the four blood moons. If you have not yet heard that, you need to listen to the four blood moons, because it is, you can go to VFN, you can go to VFNTV.com, click on the torch, and watch it and listen to it. Understand, April the 4th is what NASA is saying they're going to begin. And these
April 15th.
Yeah, April at tax day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be focused on trying to get your taxes in, and some major things could be taking place. Also, hopefully get a chance to talk about the prayer boats that are taking place, yeah. People over 100,000.
100,000 prayers a week in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. I can't wait to talk about that, because a lot of encouragement. Crime has been reduced as a result of it. Go figure.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Well, also, too, we're going to be asking the question, what has happened with parents not wanting children and children not wanting parents, and why is the government facilitating that? There is a couple things we're going to talk about. One is it's called rehoming orphans. Rehoming orphans, where people no longer want the child they adopted, so they just go on the internet and start posting, "Hey, child for sale." Think about that, you can have them.
Well, rejected twice. I mean,
one of the particular parents say, you're going to see if you're watching this on Christian Television Network. You can go to vfntv.com, click on the torch to see it. She said, "I hate to say this, but I hate them."
Wow.
Yeah, but you know what? We're going to talk about also the fact is there's a lot of parents who hate their children that don't say it because it's not politically correct.
Right.
Instead of dealing with the hate that's in your heart and asking yourself the question, why do you hate? How come you haven't forgiven them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of things that's not religiously correct that Christian folks say, well, that's not true. And the truth is but your fruit is that you hate me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, Mom, Dad, I don't hate you. And it's like, well, I understand what you're saying. But would you give me oxygen if I was dying?
Right. Wow.
And so immediately we go, no. And the truth is, but what are we doing? And we'll also be talking about in the context of that conversation, Childless by Choice. It's a club that's been put together of adults that they committed to not having children. And they say things like, we have no problem with that. None at all. None whatsoever. And so they're asked the question, do you hate children? And the one lady says, no. We don't hate them. I'm just indifferent towards them. And that word, since we don't even know our vocabulary anymore, if you're seeing any of the scores in the schools, we're going to talk about what that actually means. And you can see this whole interview. You can watch it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And we have so many things we're wanting to cover in this short period of time today, but we want to be able to get them in so you can be aware of what's taking place. When we get back from this break, we'll go right to them.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, "You know them by their fruit." That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
The fruit will show. If the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action. but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers, and so we're deceiving ourselves. Because we're listening and listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. Mm. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. Mm. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on. Because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. Mm. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh yeah, I heard it. Oh, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted. I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this. Yes, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. Hmm. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's turn, turn, turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. Mm-hmm. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen. You need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. Iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
Oh, holy night. And the stars are brightly shining.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. You're listening to VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network. I want to give a big blessing over your Christmas this Christmas season. Joining me is Pat and John. I want to go right in to talking about one last thing about this great man that has passed away, that's lived a life that just rocked the world. Nelson Mandela just passed away yesterday, and a son of South Africa, one that changed the world, and somebody that we can imitate in some attributes of his life. But one thing I want to say about him is he was in prison for 30 years. Mm-hmm. During that time, there was another South African there, a white man, a Christian man, a prophet who was there. His name was Kim Clement. And when he was there, they would separate quarters. You had the, and you can hear more about it. I don't have it pulled up for you right now, but you can go to the VFN Torch and it'll be made available to you where you can watch it, watch what he says. But he prophesied more than likely at the time why
Nelson Mandela was
in prison, that South Africa would have the first African-American president. And they thought he got criticized. He got, you know, African-American, Lord forgive me, first black president. We've been in America, the first black president of South during this particular colonial ruling time, obviously, of South Africa, and they treated him terribly. terribly when he gave that word. Not as terribly as Nelson Mandela. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they begin to shun him and all that kind of stuff, you know. And, of course, it came to pass. It came to pass just like God said it would. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of details to that, and you could hear that word. Well, he gave that same word over our current president in America, President Barack Obama. And you got to hear the word. We talked about one perspective of it in a segment because we want to pray protection of our president, because in that prophetic word from God, God revealed to him and also revealed to us there's people out there that are haters like they were against Nelson Mandela that wanted to do him harm. But God kept Nelson Mandela and made it through all that.
Horrific.
And we want to pray for our president, and that's what we're talking about in that segment. But you can see and hear what God's plans are for President Barack Obama and even his family. And he prophesies over our president and over future presidents, you know, African-American presidents in America. And it's pretty exciting because it reminds me some of Rick Joyner's words that he had given and some of the things that God has shared with us. And we can look at Nelson Mandela's legacy today and say, yeah, they thought when God spoke about the future of South Africa that it was outside of their context to be able to even understand. But now those very same people today are having to say, I was wrong. Mm. I was wrong. And as a matter of fact, they had a whole committee set up when Nelson Mandela became president to where people can come and just, they had total anonymity, or not that they had total, you wouldn't get charged for any crime. If you just went and just confessed how you were a victim and confessed out loud how you were an oppressor. And for some reason, the oppressors didn't show up. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the people got to come and share about how badly they were treated, and they spoke to this council. And one was Desmond Tutu was on there. But it's a lot of people that are on that. And so the people got to finally say out loud how they were oppressed, and it brought healing through his presidency. And so this same prophet that prophesied as a white South African prophesied in South Africa that in a time that in a predominantly black quarters that he had to sneak out to go to worship God with because it was so repressive and all the things that were going on, all the things going on there. And he prophesied there, mm-hmm. and then people started locking him out of the ministries and church. But it came to pass.
Yeah.
If you just repeat what God says, no matter how they treat you, you're right before God. But in this, you can see yourself. Listen, because our current president, President Barack Obama, you will be so encouraged about, you know, what God is saying about the future. If you let go of everything that you say it has to be and just say, God, not my will, but your will be done. And by the way, when Jesus said that, mm-hmm. it didn't end well physically for him, but it ended well for all mankind spiritually because he became a source for eternal life. So I just want to be able to say that so you can hear, because this same president was prophesied about why he was in prison, if not before, why he was in prison, because this Kim Clement was young.
Right.
And just recently, November 22nd, 2013, a word was given over President Barack Obama as the first African-American president and future presidents that would take place. And in that, also part of that word was revealed to pray for him so that the enemy, and just like Nelson Mandela had enemies, they wanted to stop it, and they didn't stop it. And look what happens today. Mm-hmm. We want God's plans to come to pass, you know, in America. We want to remember the legacy of Nelson Mandela and his willingness to transform from doing it one way to say, you know what, we're going to just do it through forgiveness and mercy and grace. He went through a metamorphosis right through the world's eyes.
Wow.
Went in a man ready to take up arms and force it, which you can understand. But he came out saying the only way this is going to work is if we forgive. If we forgive. And move on in the context of that. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Well, so what's taking place with these prayer booths?
Wow. Well, and Kent, this is awesome, okay? You remember back in the day when you didn't have a cell phone and you had to go to a phone booth?
Those were the days.
Those were the days, because you don't see them anymore. I haven't seen them in a while.
right now in Kansas City, they have set up this these prayer phone booths, if you will. We'll have a picture, you know, for you on the torch, but they look just like phone booths. However, they have a little area that you can, like a bar that you pull down where you can actually kneel in front of it and pray. Well, Charisma is reporting that over 100,000 prayers have been prayed in Kansas City on these phone booth prayer booths all around the city. And what they have found out was that, you know, some of them have been in parks, some of them have been, you know, in around churches and neighborhoods. And what they found, there was a direct correlation between the reduction of crime and the installment of these prayer booths where people are praying. I mean, go figure. But just to see how amazing, I mean, the citizens, they got together and they, you know, petitioned to get these, you know, prayer phone booths out there. And how awesome that there's a place where people can publicly pray while the Supreme Court is actually, you know, trying to decide whether public prayer versus private prayer. But these people are praying publicly in the parks, in the streets, in their neighborhoods, and they're seeing a reduction in crime-ridden areas. And I say, my goodness, that is beautiful.
That was on my heart. It's one thing about, you know, a loyal Muslim. They will pray openly so many times a day. They blast out sounds reminding their folks to pray. They pull out their prayer rugs and lay down their prayer rugs. It's time for not only to pray out loud, but to be out loud.
That's right.
In a humble and loving way, to say, just be openly, lovingly, loyal, and trusting to God. And, you know, maybe we need to have some rugs. I can see how that progressed. Like, okay, this is pretty dirty. There's been horses here, camels and things. We need to have a rug. I think I'm hearing a new there's a rug. And it just makes sense that when the enemy, it's so prayer is so powerful that the enemy's been trying to get people to stop doing it in America. And many people have given into it. And it's like, don't give into it because God is our only hope. But you got to talk to God for hope, which means prayer. That's so exciting. Public prayer.
100,000 prayers per week.
Wow.
At a phone booth near you.
That is powerful. Cool. I don't know if you know what this generation knows what a phone booth is.
Probably not.
You see a phone booth, you're putting in quarters and stuff
like that. We'll relay the picture for you. How's that? Yeah. We'll relay the picture for you, show you what they were back in the day.
Well, I want to talk about rehoming orphan children that's taking place right now. This tragedy of where parents who adopt children are deciding they don't want it anymore. They found out, you know, parenting, especially parenting someone else's child who didn't have the foundational years right, or how the gestation period of that child in the womb where the mother didn't even think about, obviously the whole root of this whole thing is all about me,
right?
Is that I couldn't stop the destructive behavior while I had a child inside of me, which caused brain damage or, you know, whatever type of situation, damage to the child. And they are adopting these children, and CBN News is reporting about this. And we want to hear this because the question we want to ask ourselves is how come parents, and we're going to talk about this today, how come parents are not wanting their children and children are not wanting their parents? And how come the government's supporting this? And how come they're wanting to take over parenting roles? I mean, what's happening? Why wasn't and why hasn't, why has family, marriage, and children and parents become a foreign terminology in regards to God's people?
Yeah.
And listen, I want to hear this. We're going to continue this conversation.
A recent investigation into international adoptions came up with a disturbing report. A growing number of parents are using the internet to get rid of children adopted from abroad. And as Charlene Israel reports, not only is that a double tragedy for these children, it can also be downright dangerous.
Evan Jones enjoys spending time with his family, but life hasn't always been carefree for the Ukrainian teenager. His mother died when he was 8. Then Evan and his sister went to live with his grandmother. But when she could no longer care for them, they were placed in an orphanage. He left the institution when a U.S. couple who had hosted him one Christmas decided to adopt him.
It was really amazing when I actually got a family because, I mean, I realized that God answered my prayer. And I had a little brother and a sister and another brother. So it was like a complete family like I imagined.
Evan moved with his new family to Charlotte, North Carolina. But it wasn't the happy ending of his dreams. His parents quickly learned they weren't fully prepared to take care of Evan, and they searched for a new family to take him in. Evan's story is not unique.
An 18-month investigation by Reuters uncovered parents using internet message boards to advertise unwanted adopted children. It's a practice known as rehoming.
Most of the online posts featured children 6 to 14 who had been adopted from countries such as China, Russia, Ethiopia, and Ukraine. The report found these transactions taking place on 8 Yahoo message boards and a Facebook group. One from a mother who adopted a Guatemalan 11-year-old reads, "I am totally ashamed to say it, but we do truly hate this boy." Adoption experts blame part of the problem on lack of government oversight and little international monitoring. Some of the children ended up in unsafe situations.
Children were placed with pedophiles and with people who had psychiatric problems and violent tendencies.
A Liberian teen says her adoptive parents gave her away when she was 13. She says her new guardians told her to sleep in the same bed with them and that the new mom slept without clothing. A girl adopted from Russia was sent to 3 different homes in the U.S. over a 6-month period. Chuck Johnson of the National Council for Adoption says that while the majority of adoptions work out well, he calls the ones uncovered in the news investigation troubling.
It's a double tragedy because when you consider the circumstances the child endured.
He urges families considering adoption to do their research, especially in international arrangements. That includes their adoption agency and prospective child's background. Families should also be prepared to deal with the emotional scars suffered by many orphans.
That's something that every family has to enter into this arrangement, realizing that it's very likely that the child that they adopt will have some special needs.
Last December, Russia banned U.S. adoptions of its children after an American woman put her 7-year-old adopted son on a plane back to Russia all by himself. The mother claimed the boy was violent and had severe psychological problems. Adoption experts say in many cases, overwhelmed parents don't know there is help. For those who choose to relinquish their parental rights, there is a safe legal way to do so through adoption dissolution.
It'll be done under the auspices of professional care with social workers and counselors and courts, all making sure that the children's best interests are paramount in wherever they go.
Evan is reaping the benefits of such an arrangement. David and Julie Jones heard about his need for a new home through an international adoption support group.
We had a loving family who's saying, "We can't do this. We need help."
The Joneses and their teenage son built a bond with Evan that grew stronger over time.
I really liked him, and over time, I began to call him Mom and Dad.
The Joneses eventually adopted Evan.
We did all this with the consent of the other parents and with, lawyers in both states. You know, we covered our bases every way that we knew that we should.
He says he has no hard feelings toward his previous family. While the family didn't want to do an on-camera interview, they gave us this statement. Evan is and always will be a member of our extended family. In fact, we consider the entire Jones family to be a part of our extended family. Our children think of Evan as a cousin of sorts now, and we hope that we will always have a relationship with Evan. Meanwhile, the Joneses admit taking Evan in has its challenges, but they are committed.
We will not tell you that we have not raised our voices in our home, because we have. But once we have been able to, with God's help, say, "Okay, God, what is it in me that is pushing that button?" And God reveals it, and we can repent or be healed ourselves. Then when the child gets angry and we don't get angry, that's when the healing begins.
And that makes Evan even more grateful.
There's been really bad moments, but they've still kept me and loved me and cared for me. And I mean, after those things are over, they would treat me the same way they treated me before.
Charlene Israel, CBN News.
So important, such a timely beginning of a conversation that we're going to have today. Why we have adults right now that would give their right arm to be able to have a child, and we have other parents who would give their right arm not to have a child, even to the point of murdering their child, but it's not willing to live with giving their child to this person who would give their right arm for the child. Because why? Because it was conceived because of self. And now that you conceive me, you're keeping me under this unloving relationship, oppressing me.
Wow.
Because you don't want me. But you don't want yourself to look bad because you gave me up. And it's like, I came into the world because of you, and now I'm under your oppression. Listen, we're going to continue this conversation. Why do parents not want children, and children don't want parents? And why is the government facilitating this? We've got to ask these real questions. If we've murdered 55-plus million children in the womb, we're rehoming children that have this fantasy about adopting them. The government's infiltrating the family. We're coming against homeschoolers. We're exporting parents who tried to homeschool their children and tried to get exile in America and say, we don't want that here. It's like we have core, common core taking place. It's like, you know, it takes a village to raise a kid. What is going on?
Wow.
What is happening in the context of this? We're going to continue this conversation in our next program. We're having four programs back to back. Don't miss them. We're going to be talking about in our next program about kidless by choice, childless by choice. Adults that are saying that we're just indifferent towards children. It's not that we hate them. We're just indifferent. Stay tuned. In addition to a prophetic word, we'll be given.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.